You're listening to a piece of music called Serenata Schizophrena. I'll tell you who composed it in a minute, but for now, let's just say that composers are the opposite of children. They are never seen and always heard. To prove this, let me begin by telling you a story. Once upon a time, way back in the late 1950s, a boy was born in Burbank, California. He was not a particularly diligent student. Teachers were perplexed by his indolence. He did not interact with his fellow classmates, and he seemed to live in a world of his own creation. But he was interested in films. He regularly made short ones, and very tellingly, he did not use actors. There was no dialogue either, or even sound. Instead, he used plasticine, and his films were animated. But what his films did have was an utterly unique vision, and that won him a scholarship to the California Institute of Arts. And it was there that his individual flair was not just recognized, but venerated. When he was but 21 years old, he made a film lasting barely 90 seconds, yet it earned the admiration of his fellow classmates. Now, I'll name them for you in a minute, but let me say that those 90 seconds boast such singular intensity. The film is now archived in the Library of Congress in Washington. So what, you might say? Well, the Library of Congress selects films for their cultural, historical, and aesthetic significance. That movie is just 90 seconds long. It's called Stalk of the Celery Monster, and you can see it on YouTube. Now, let me name his classmates. John Musker. He later directed The Little Mermaid and Aladdin. There's also Brad Bird, who later directed The Incredibles. But most famously of all is a guy called John Lasseter, and he founded Pixar. But I'm talking about Tim Burton. Edward Scissorhands was released in Ireland 20 years ago this week. The film began as a sketch Burton had made of a young man whose hands were made of scissors. Immediately, he hit upon the idea of telling the story as an opera, and this is where our composer finally comes in. I don't know how Burton's opera would have turned out, but I can say that I would like to see it performed on stage with a score composed by Burton's regular collaborator, Danny Elfman. The piece of music you heard at the beginning was Elfman's first major classical work, Serenata Schizophrena. You see, people bang on about Burton's collaboration with Johnny Depp, but of the 14 films Burton has directed, Danny Elfman has scored 12. The relationship between a director and a composer can be crucial. You've got Steven Spielberg and John Williams, and of course, Alfred Hitchcock and Bernard Herrmann. But try to consider the films of Sergio Leone without Ennio Morricone. Or David Lean without Maurice Jarre. Or Ridley Scott without Hans Zimmer. Edward Scissorhands is a fairy tale, and like all good fairy tales, it is more than a smattering of nightmares. So Elfman's score provides a crucial off-kilter feel to it, the music veering suddenly from lush romanticism to jarring gothic. Just like Burton, Elfman studied at the California Institute of Arts, and after he graduated, he toured Europe and Africa, hearing and absorbing a wide and very interesting range of music. Now, I don't claim to know enough about music to be able to recognize all the sources in Elfman's scores, but I do know enough about film scores to know that a big influence is Nino Rota. Rota's most famous theme is The Godfather, but he scored no less than 15 films for the Italian maestro Federico Fellini. That is from Fellini's masterpiece, 8 and a Half. The counterpoint sounds very much like a circus march, doesn't it? Fellini loved circuses and carnivals, and those elements are often evident in Elfman's collaborations with Burton. Sample this from Beetlejuice. But perhaps the biggest influence of all are a pair of Russian composers from the late 19th and early 20th centuries. That is Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev. And that is The Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy from Tchaikovsky's ballet, The Nutcracker. So the next time you're watching a Tim Burton film, neutralize the music channel on your DVD player, and you will realize who Tim Burton's most important collaborator really is.